top story around the world, the terror attacks in Brussels, Belgium today at the airport and a train station downtown, very, very close to the seat of government for the European Union as well as NATO, the headquarters of NATO. And Bob Baer is with us, one of the most decorated CIA agents in that agency's history. And a you know, the author of some books, including the one upon which the movie Syriana was based, starring George Clooney as Bob. All right. Okay. So now let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we know at the moment. Death toll just rose to 34 in this, with 230 injured. There appears to be one guy who got away. The two. It's very haunting. The two suicide bombers were wearing black. The one guy who was the runner of this operation was wearing a white coat of some sort. Can we glean anything from that?
Well, he was probably the handler. These guys, probably a bomb expert, had to hook them up to their vests, or if they were actually bags on the carts they were pushing. The gloves may very well have been dead men's switches, which means that when you take your hand off the cart, it opens the circuit, and blows it up. So that even if you had grabbed them in the middle of this, the bomb still would have gone off, whether it was outside or in. And you know, they had to set this up probably curbside, for all I know. You know, we're going to see pretty soon. But these guys clearly know what they're doing. I mean, they've taken this TATP explosives and made them work, the detonators, because for the longest time they just, you know, they couldn't count on the detonators working in the actuator. So they're getting better and better, and these bombs are becoming routine for them, which of course is dangerous for us.
Right. And absolutely. And obviously out of this cell in the Molenbeek area of Belgium, which appears to be where at least that certainly where they were able to get Salah Abdeslam last week. We don't know where these guys are from specifically yet, but it's a pretty good guess is, you know, related cell, if not the same cell. What do you make of Abdeslam's arrest last week being related to this? People are speculating that maybe they had to move the timetable of this up. It was already in line. What do you think?
Well, I think that's speculation. You know, we just simply don't know. If I were, you know, on the other side, if we were red selling this, I would not tell that guy anything because he's wanted and he was going to get caught sooner or later. So you know, whether he knew the specifics of this, I doubt it. They may ask him now that it's gone off, did you know about this, and he may give some details, but I truly doubt it because their tradecraft is better than this. They're compartmented. You know, they have independent cells with multiple bomb makers, and They do know their tactics, and what they're doing is they're picking these tactics up on the battlefield in Syria and Iraq. I mean, it's been going on for years since we invaded Iraq, since 2003, that they've adjusted to our counterterrorism operations. And I wouldn't be surprised if these guys had at least been trained by somebody who had been in the battlefield if they themselves hadn't.
So that leads to an interesting question, Bob, which is obviously these are people, if you say the tradecraft is good, and obviously it is, then were they trained by well-trained, mechanized army types who are an intelligence organization types from other nations? What can we guess there?
Oh, well, clearly. I mean, they were originally in 2003, Syrian intelligence helped train them when these guys fled to Syria and they were protected by the Syrians. And then later you had a lot of Iraqi officers, intelligence officers, who had combat experience, went over to the Islamic State predecessor organization.
Right, AQI.
Yeah, AQI, exactly. So they've had experience, and it's the Darwin effect, you know, and in a battlefield, the dumb guys are, you know, die, and the smart guys that know what they're doing continue on and take that tradecraft. I mean, this happened in Afghanistan in the 80s, you know. The combat-trained people start showing up in the Middle East and attacking their governments.
Bob, there's a report out this afternoon that a man named Najim LaRouchaoui, they're on the hunt for him, believing that he could have made the suicide belts for the Paris attacks and possibly even the detonators and the devices used in this attack. I guess my question is more around how many people would likely be involved in an attack like this, and do you think that spider web, now that they're following these leads in each of the directions of these men that they know are involved, how many do you think they can that this will lead them to, you know, as they continue?
I don't think they've got a single bomb maker. These detonators and the acetone peroxide bombs are, you know, if you have some time on a range, they're fairly easy to learn. I mean, I could take you out, you know, this afternoon. In a couple days, you could be making bombs too. So it's not one bomb maker. I'd be very surprised they only have one. What surprises me about these people is they've been able to go dark. I mean, they're clearly not on email, you know, preparing this, and nor are they getting phone calls from Raqqa, Syria, telling them what to do. So they don't need really a command structure in the Middle East. They know what targets to hit, mass murder, and they know to stay off email. And it's definitely not used in the Paris attacks. They use prepaid cell phones, burner phones. So, and then the French still have not pieced that attack together, nor did they find Abdel-Salam, thanks to the data mining. So, I mean, they know about our data mining. I mean, we all know about it.
So they're getting around that now.
Very, you know, we put billions into this software and algorithms and the rest of it, and I think it's clearly, if you look at Brussels and Paris, it's obsolete.
Troubling.
Now I want to ask you about Donald Trump. Just made news about an hour ago. He's talking to Wolf Blitzer at CNN, and he said that if he were president and he were able to get a guy like Abdel-Salam in custody, that, you know, he would torture him because he would talk faster, even though there's some reports that he's been talking, he's been cooperating. And I think you made the point, actually, on CNN the day he was captured, a day after he was captured, that, you know, here's a guy that may be easily co-opted, right? Because he wasn't a suicide bomber. He wasn't a guy that, you know, that wanted to die for the cause.
Yeah, he wants to save his skin. And, you know, and I'm still confused about torture, because you have CIA people saying it worked. You have the former director Hayden, and then you have the Senate taking documents, went through all the documents and said the documentary evidence shows it doesn't work. So, you know, the jury's still out on that. I mean, I wouldn't presume. I don't know anything about torture other than I read or watch Middle Eastern services do it. I haven't seen it as particularly effective. The best services in the Middle East are the Jordanians, and it's when they don't use torture that they get inside these groups, and they have for years. But the Egyptians, intelligence is terrible, and they use torture and disappear people. So, you know, that's a debate. I understand why it's turned political, but, you know, for the people who actually do the work, I defer to them.
So, and I want to go back to the bomb making here, because we don't really know. This particular bomb, you don't think was a very sophisticated series of devices, right? Or these bombs?
No, I don't think they were. I've made TATP bombs with ATF, and I've actually, after the 7/7 bombings, I did a documentary in London, and we made one in the kitchen, the same place they made the bombs there, and the tube bombings. And it's fairly easy to make. It's just peroxide, hair dye, and acetone. And then they know the formula. It's out there. It's not a secret. It's just a matter of practice. You don't want somebody, you know, getting on the internet, yeah, I can make one of these and use it for the first time, because it'll probably kill them.
Right. You don't want to be in the
matter.
Yeah. You don't want to be in the next room when they're doing it in the bathtub. Is basically for the first time.
No.
The internet.
Your neighbors are making bombs. Yeah. The next door move.
Yeah. You know? Hey, I guess. And as we look at this now, obviously, you know, they hit the soft side of an airport, the ground side of the airport. This is something that airport administrators and law enforcement, national security people have been worried about for more than a decade, that's, you know, that you can kill a lot of people doing it that way, and you still screw up aviation.
Screw up aviation, and, you know, and if you decide to put metal detectors and just back people up at airports, you take LAX or New York, so what? You kill them while they're waiting outside to get into the airport. I mean, where do you even start dealing with a threat like this? And then if you don't like that, then move to malls, you know, and on and on and on. We've got to look at the root causes of terrorism.
Bob, what about go ahead, I'm sorry.
Elucidate on that point for just a second.
Well, I mean, it's the conflicts in the Middle East. We're bombing the very people that are blowing us up. So we're
stocking our own
pond. Yeah, we can continue to bomb. Yeah, but we're stocking our own pond here. I'm not saying it's going to stop if the bombing stops, but
not helping.
Bob.
Yeah, it's not helping.
A lot of people are asking us on our text line about the Brussels security and intelligence itself. There were a lot of questions that arose in the wake of this, saying, wait a minute, you just got this Salah Abdeslam guy, and then this happens. Should you have done something sooner? Should there have been a more aggressive approach? I don't know. I'm asking you as someone who understands this.
The only aggressive approach is what they're doing apparently last night, and that is just knocking down doors. And it's almost like martial law, where you're hitting one place after another as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you one more. I know you got to run and you got to do CNN, but NATO. This is the NATO headquarters. There's some debate now politically about whether NATO is important. As an intelligence officer for the many years that you were, do you think NATO is important in fighting this?
No, it's going to be fought on the diplomatic level with Russia and Iran. I mean, if the Iranians are out sending killer squads into places like Ramadi and Tikrit in Iraq and killing Sunnis, they're going to strike back at us because they can't hit Iran. So we either all get on board internationally with this and provide a safe haven for these people in a no-fly zone, you're going to still see the symptoms of it appearing in Europe and maybe the United States.
All right, Bob. Thanks very much. Appreciate your time, always. Mm. Well, the great American
Thanks.
Host.
Bye.
Bye. Bob Baer. One of the highest decorated CIA officers in that agency's history. We don't know the names of many of them.
You can't tell us.
Right.
But a great guy to have as a resource in times like these.
And important to note, too. I mean, I think a lot of people who have been around this, and Bob actually has been tortured. Didn't mention that here, if you've read the book. Those who've experienced it firsthand tell you that it's probably not the best way to extract useful information. Mm-hmm. Generally, that those being tortured tell you anything you want to hear.
That would be exactly what Senator McCain has said.
Right. So there you go. But Donald Trump is used to telling people what they want to hear, so he's very familiar with the concept.